CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. Nuclear deterrence. We welcome Peter Husey, our colleague. He's president of Geostrategic Analysis, also a fellow at the National Institute for Deterrence Studies. Peter, a very good evening to you. Our colleague Bill Gertz has been writing over these last weeks about the warnings given out by major generals, major significant generals involved with nuclear deterrence and nuclear threat. Stratcom general testifying at the end of February that the development of nuclear weapons by China is blinding and unprecedented. We also have news of the romance between North Korea and Russia, and Reuters reporting of the rocket team in North Korea now getting great credit for upgrading North Korea's ballistic missile program and its nuclear weapons program. We have the suggestion that North Korea is now fitting in very nicely with the axis of resistance, Moscow, Tehran, and Beijing. All of these considerations, it's fog of war, Peter, but at the same time, this looks to be an enormous threat to the U.S. having guaranteed our nuclear umbrella to all of our allies. Is it adequate, Peter, in your measure today, here in the 21st century, with four predator states coming at us? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and good evening, Gordon. Our deterrent is what we're planning to do is necessary, but not enough, as the Posture Commission in October of 2023 said. We have to have theater systems, which we do not have in Asia, in the Western Pacific. And in Europe, we only have gravity bombs on fighter planes. And we need something better than that, particularly an ocean-going Navy-based nuclear cruise missile, which I just read today in Stratcom clippings is under development. And actually, the administration has put some money behind it, and that's a switch. But you're exactly right. As you know, I've been conducting and hosting now somewhere around 1,400 seminars on this subject since 1983. And one of the subjects I started in the 1990s when everybody thought it was the end of history was Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea are going to form an alliance. And I was a minority of a couple people who thought that because the assumptions were Russia and China were going to help us keep North Korea and Iran in a box. Well, as you pointed out in your opening monologue, that has not happened. Is these four are, three of the four are nuclear armed. They share nuclear technology and missile technology with each other. And as the General Cotton said before his testimony and before him, Admiral Richard, we are facing not just two peer competitors in Russia and China, but nuclear, possibly nuclear armed Iran and North Korea as their surrogates, which can cause an enormous amount of trouble in the world.
Gordon, you have a question for Peter.
Peter, we have what's called the triad. We have intercontinental ballistic missiles based on land, ICBMs on submarines, and bombers. And we're trying to modernize all three legs. You talked about the deficiencies where we don't have weapons. But of our main systems, we're trying to modernize all three. Which branch, which leg of the triad is the most advanced in terms of modernization?
Well, the first one that's going to be probably put in the field are the bombers. The B-21 has had a great test record. The technology is extraordinary. And we're in the process of now building them. They haven't yet. It takes time to build then to test them. I believe we have tested and they'll go in the field hopefully toward the end of this decade. And then both the ICBMs and the subs were going to come in 2030, 2031, 2032. There is some delay in both. And that is basically normal given the enormous manpower, supply chain, and budget issues we've had with Congress not getting the defense budget done. So they'll come in next. But again, they both have slipped between a year and 2 years, which is unfortunate. But again, we're going to do everything simultaneously, including nuclear command and control, including building the warhead, new warheads, which replace the old ones that are 30, 40 years old. So, Gordon, we have never done this before. We have never had to do everything simultaneously. The closest we came to this was in the Reagan administration, but at least we had 8 to 9 years prior to that, the development of a lot of systems, some of which took a little bit more to do. So, yeah, we have some very serious supply chain personnel and just schedule problems, but the industry is doing extraordinary work, as the Navy and Air Force. We're going to be late to the ballgame, so to speak, and we just hope the current deterrent holds in the meantime.
Peter, I follow your story about how you were raising alarms at the end of the 20th century, the beginning of the 21st, when the presumption was that Moscow would rise up and up until it was just like Kansas City and would fall into line. That did not happen. And I point to something else that didn't happen, which is the U.S. having reduced its nuclear weapons arsenal to match treaty obligations with Russia, and at the same time have a nuclear arsenal that's supposed to cover our allies in NATO to at least, but also Japan, other allies in the Pacific.
Right.
Do we have enough weapons to do all that? And, Peter, one more turn of the screw. The Russians, the Chinese, the North Koreans, and the Iranians, and I'm presuming they want a nuclear weapon, that is a decentralized nuclear threat. Do we need a decentralized nuclear threat? Not just Britain and France, but other members of NATO and other members in the Pacific have the ability to launch. And would that answer the threat of the axis of resistance?
That's a very good question, Gordon, something that I've addressed just recently in a number of essays. But number one, do we need more? We need more capability. And if that means more warheads, then it's more warheads. I believe in the theater, the short-range regional missiles, we need desperately in both Europe and the Asia, because we got rid of them in 1991, except for a couple hundred gravity bombs in Europe. So, yes, we need more capability, definitely, and I think that means more warheads. There are those who say, no more warheads, don't need them. I agree with you. I don't see how we can cover our allies. And now your next question, should Taiwan, the Republic of Korea, Poland, you pick the number of countries you want, should they develop their own nuclear weapons? Well, let me put it this way. If the threat keeps increasing and the dangers keep increasing, as Robert Gates pointed out in her recent article, the pressures on these countries, which is currently very high, to take it upon themselves to say, we love you, America, but you know, you might not come to our help. We just don't know. We're going to develop an independent. Now, that to me is fraught with some positives, a lot negative. And the positive is Taiwan with nuclear weapons, Republic of Korea with nuclear weapons, China going to leave them alone. But in the process of developing weapons, China may say, we're going to attack your weapons development plan, so you're out of the business. There's an upside, there's a downside, John. And my view is once the nuclear proliferation treaty unravels, it's not just the good guys who are going to get nuclear weapons. There are a lot more bad guys who would like to get them, including Syria, for example, or Cuba or Nicaragua or Venezuela. And once you have a free-for-all, which is what John Kennedy feared back in 1962 in a speech he gave at American University. Thank God that didn't happen. But we have some crazy people with nuclear weapons in North Korea, and Iran gets them, all bets are off. So I'm very torn between, I understand the motive nations have to secure their safety. On the other hand, the bad guys can build the stuff too, and we got enough bad guys as it is.
Gordon, you have a question.
Peter, John and you have talked about coordination among the bad actors. In fact, are China, Russia, and North Korea, the three that are nuke-armed, are they coordinating their policies now?
Well, let's go back to 1982. Deng Xiaoping gave a speech before the Politburo, a secret, said, we are going to help Pakistan, Libya, Iran, and North Korea get nuclear weapons technology, which they did through the Khan network. Number two, North Korea and Iran have an agreement to share missile and nuclear technology. We know the mullahs have been in North Korea when they've done nuclear tests, kind of going up and kicking the tires, seeing what's going on. And we now know, for example, China was in the Red Sea helping the Houthis with GPS to locate tankers and other ships that they were going to go grab, which shut down traffic through the Suez Canal and the Red Sea. So they cooperate, just like the Russians cooperated with the Somalian pirates, providing them GPS to go after oil tankers, which, as you remember, jacked up the price of oil to $148 a barrel on July 4th. Merry, you know, happy anniversary, America, in 2008, which precipitated and helped make the recession we had then terrible. They all work together. That's the real thing that the strat commanders and our military people are terrified of, because you could have more than a one front war. Now, as John pointed out, you could have four fronts. You could have Middle East, you could have Northeast Asia, China and Taiwan, and Russia and Europe simultaneously.
Peter Husey, president of Geostrategic Analysis, fellow at the National Institute for Deterrence Studies, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.